maybe it's not the most romantic of anniversaries, but it was fun. And by year 29, that's what we want to do. We love to be with our daughter as much as possible, and we enjoy being with our friends, and after all, it's a celebration. You don't do that privately. Anyway, there we were at dinner, and Leslie asked us what we thought the secret to staying married was. I was saying things like, we pray together every day and sharing our faith and values. But she especially liked Al's answer. He said, when it rains, you put on your rain gear. Over the years, Al and I have not had too much rain. Al is steady and solid. He takes good care of me. I've been able to support him through a busy career. And we have not suffered a lot of external difficulties like some couples experience. But of course, no marriage is perfect all the time. And to help out, we've attended 2 marriage conferences, a marriage retreat, and last year, when we'd already been married 28 years, we attended the Alpha Marriage course that was offered to our congregation. No matter how long a couple's been married, there's always room for improving your relationship. Also, no matter how long or short you've been married, there will be problems, at least small ones, if not some of the bigger ones, like infidelity, poverty, the death of a child. Small things, communication breaks down, conflicts arise, and people tend to either blow them out of proportion or avoid them altogether. Add to that the day-to-day demands of working, raising a family, and tending to outside commitments. And those small problems add up so that sometimes it seems like it's not just raining, but a real storm. Making a marriage work, or last, I mean, takes work. It takes each partner conceding to the other, looking out for each other's needs and desires, honoring and cherishing each other, even when you don't feel like it. It takes a solid commitment. And the question arises, why should I work at my marriage? Why stay married? In our society today, while lifelong marriage may still be the ideal, it is certainly not expected of most couples. Who really expects to stay faithfully and happily married to one person for a lifetime, when it takes so much effort to keep open, honest communication, to keep from looking at someone else who might be desirable, to keep growing closer rather than more distant from the one you married, maybe so long ago? It looks so easy to just walk away, get divorced and be free, have a new, fresh start. So why work at it at all? Well, our scriptures suggest several reasons. First, your spouse is God's gift to you. Second, sticking with your marriage is like a statement of faith and a way to cultivate faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit. And third, God has made you one with your spouse, which is a sign pointing toward the unity we have in Christ and which will be ultimately realized in the end times. I mentioned that Al and I attended a couple of marriage conferences. At these conferences, one of the first things they had us do was turn to each other and say, "You are not my enemy." It was kind of hokey, but they were making the point that when marriage gets tough, we need to remember we're on the same side, not fighting against each other. The Bible goes even farther, not just saying that you're not enemies. In fact, your spouse is a gift from God. Look at Genesis 2. In all of God's good creation, God sees it isn't good for the man to be alone. So he vows to make a suitable helper for him. When God brings the woman to Adam, he's wowed by her. Having seen and named all the animals, knowing they have corresponding partners, and yet not one of them was right for him, he says, "Finally, here is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And after that, God says, "It is very good." Your spouse is a good gift from God to you. Many weddings we attend today are less formal than they used to be. They're often held outside or at a venue other than a church, and many times there isn't even a pastor marrying the couple, but some valued friend or family member who gets a special license for the day. But for the times when weddings were typically held in a church, the pastor had a worship book with the marriage service in it. I brought one along. Here, in the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship, there is a beautiful statement about marriage, and it illustrates what a precious gift married people are to the other. God created us male and female and gave us marriage so that husband and wife may help and comfort each other, living faithfully together in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health throughout all their days. God gave us marriage for the full expression of love between a man and a woman. In marriage, a man and a woman belong to each other and with affection and tenderness freely give themselves to each other. God gave us marriage for the well-being of human society, for the ordering of family life, and for the birth and nurture of children. God gives us a marriage partner for our good, to share good times and bad, to be special and trusted companions to each other, to care for each other and complement each other. In marriage, we can express fully the love and tenderness we have for another person, being vulnerable, knowing that the other will hold us gently and will open up in vulnerability to us too. Marriage is the state in which we feel we can be truly known for who we are. We can share our inmost thoughts and fears, our sins and quirks for which others might judge us, but we hope our partner will understand and forgive. Basically, we take off the mask and open up in ways we can't always do in public or even with other friends. And there is something very secure and healing about that kind of relationship. God gave us each other for this purpose. Your spouse is not your enemy. He or she is on your side, is a gift from God to make your life better than if you were alone. But of course, your spouse doesn't always seem like such a great gift. Sometimes marriage feels like a burden when there's misunderstanding or disagreement, or when there's a particular pain because of the other's words or behavior, because you have opened yourself up, you have been vulnerable, you have set yourself in a position where the other can hurt you deeply. When those disappointments and disagreements and hurts continue unchecked, it's hard to think of your spouse as a good gift from God. So then it becomes a matter of faith. And this is the second good reason to keep your commandment or your commitment to your wife or husband. It is a matter of faithfulness. Faithfulness to your spouse, for sure, but also your faithfulness to God. God is the unseen witness at your wedding, the guest who gave you the best gift of all, your spouse. To reject your spouse is to reject God's gift. Sticking with your marriage, working at it, making the best go of it by learning to forgive, to do the best you can for them, to hope for the best in them, to love them well, is an act of faith in God. God uses our marriage to grow spiritual fruit in us, to live so closely with someone who turns out to be so different from you requires patience, self-control, love, and of course, faithfulness. And since these qualities don't come naturally to any of us, we have plenty of opportunity to pray for them and practice them with our wife or husband. Add in some children and you get even more chances. Living in family is how God teaches us to be faithful. And marriage matters to God. In the Malachi passage, he sees the faithlessness of Israel within their marriages, and it makes him angry to the point that he stops accepting their sacrifices. God is faithful to his people, to his whole creation, and he expects faithfulness of us too. Faithfulness toward him and faithfulness to each other. When we mistreat each other, God takes it as mistreatment of himself. He identifies with his people and takes on their suffering. That's the kind of God he is. And so we cannot be faithless to our fellow human beings without being faithless to God too. And if we're faithless in that closest relationship we have, our marriage, we aren't only rejecting our spouse, we're rejecting God too. On the other hand, when we have solid, happy, faithful relationships, they are a picture of God's faithfulness to us and ours to him too. In lots of scriptures, Israel's faith and the church's faith are pictured as a marriage relationship. The prophets call God our husband. When Israel went after other gods, our God called their idolatry adultery. Marriage matters to God because as Christians we are ambassadors to the world. We show what it's like to live in his kingdom. And although ultimately in heaven there will be no marriage because there will be no need for it anymore, for now our faithfulness to each other is a picture of God's faithfulness to us. He does not abandon us when we get sick. He doesn't get bored of our company or drift away so that we're like two people living under the same roof but who don't really know each other anymore. He stays. He waits. He forgives and he loves. These are things we do in our marriages too. Faithfulness is cultivated in marriage, and faithfulness in marriage is a sign pointing to our faithful God. Marriage is also a sign of our unity in Christ now and a sign of things to come when Christ comes again and makes all things new. And this is the third good reason to work at marriage. God has made you and your partner one flesh. This goes right back to creation again. When God made woman, he made her from the same stuff as man, taking one of his ribs and creating her. And when God brought Eve to Adam, essentially performing the first wedding ceremony, they became one flesh. What he separated at creation, he brought back together in beautiful unity. And this gets at another truth. I said earlier, when things get difficult, it looks easy to just get divorced and walk away. But divorce isn't easy. It is very expensive in more ways than one. Financially, yes. But it also takes a toll on children, extended family and friends, and mostly on the couple themselves. Because you don't make two people one flesh and then separate them without deep pain and difficulty. Ask people who are divorced. There are lasting effects, whether it's financial stress, feelings of resentment or rejection, guilt, and so on. It is not such an easy answer. It's like if you would take two pieces of different colored Play-Doh, say red and blue, and you work them together, not so they mix to purple, but they're so intertwined and stuck to each other that when you try to separate them, some of the blue comes off on the red and vice versa. You literally cannot extract them from each other. Because this is a mystery, but in marriage, God has made you one. Here is the rest of that statement that I started saying at the beginning. The statement about marriage from the wedding ceremony in the worship book. It says, God gave us marriage as a holy mystery, in which a man and woman are joined together and become one, just as Christ is one with the church. In marriage, husband and wife are called to a new way of life, created, ordered, and blessed by God. This way of life must not be entered into carelessly or from selfish motives, but responsibly and prayerfully. We rejoice that marriage is given by God, blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ, and sustained by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let marriage be held in honor by all. The mystery is that marriage is a picture of Christ and His church. If God is called Israel's husband throughout the prophets, in the New Testament, Christ becomes the bridegroom and the church is His bride. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul makes some well-known statements about husbands and wives and how Christians ought to live together in the marriage context. That's in chapter 5, and this is where he states, "This is a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." But to put chapter 5 in context, the whole letter is about Christian unity. And in chapter 1, Paul says God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. See, we tend to think of heaven and earth as separate, but in reality, they are two complementary parts of God's good creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there are corresponding parts throughout creation that speak to this. Light and dark, day and night, water above the sky and water below, earth and seas, male and female. That's all in Genesis 1 and 2. And when we skip to the very end, Revelation 21 and 22, John sees the bride of Christ coming down out of heaven to the earth, and that is the city of Jerusalem. At that time, they will be joined together, never to be separated like a married couple. God's purpose has always been for heaven and earth to be together, for God to be our God and we his people in loving relationship forever. And our Christian marriages on earth today are a sign of that reality. And it is true that we live in the world today where all is not perfect, and even Christians have to weather storms that beat at the signposts. The rain gear that is perfectly adequate for the usual squall might not cut it when there's a barrage of storms that won't quit. Sometimes the problems will be bad enough that divorce is called for. If that is your situation, know that it is not the unforgivable sin. It's not the ideal, but it's one of those things where God is with you in it. Even if you feel rejected by your ex, God does not reject you. If you're the reason the marriage failed, you can be forgiven. And this is the time to say that singleness is okay too. In Jesus Christ, we all belong. We're accepted and we have intimacy with Him. In the New Testament, singleness is held up as a completely viable option, making it easier for a disciple to be fully devoted to the Lord without the obligations a family brings. Singles, too, can hold up marriage, though, respecting it and praying for married friends and doing all they can to support and honor married couples. When Al said, "When it rains, put on your rain gear," he was speaking as a true Southeast Alaskan. And I hear two truths in that. First, there will be rain. Don't be surprised when your marriage isn't always a bed of roses. And second, when it rains, you need to be prepared with the proper gear, commitment, forgiveness, a readiness to say you're sorry, faithfulness, perseverance, and above all, love. Of course, none of this will happen all by itself. As human beings, we are prone to think of ourselves first, get defensive when confronted with our own bad behavior, while reserving the right to be angry when something's done against us. We need to start with a relationship with Christ first and foremost. Only as we remember that our unity is under Christ, who loved us first and best, Will we have the power to keep our commitment to our spouse? With him, we can weather any storm. Amen.